Hey, welcome to Romance Happy Hour. I'm Dylan Crush, and I am here with Dawn Ludicky over there. And we have got two awesome guests tonight, Tina Gallagher and Sabrina Silvers. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. So
Super
excited to be
happy to
here.
have you. Yay. Well, and both of you, this is super fun because you're both return guests. So, like, you know all the ropes and yeah, you know your way around. So we're excited to catch up with both of you. I don't remember when, how long it's been since
Yeah.
you were on here.
I was in July because I was just looking at the email. So it was the end of
Okay.
July.
Okay. So 9 months or so.
It's been at least a year for me.
Well,
Maybe
and I think
yeah.
you've been here under multiple personalities, though, Sabrina. So.
Yeah.
My personalities don't always talk to each other, so maybe
Yes.
I don't remember which one was here. But that could be the problem.
That's true.
It could
That's
be
true.
that. It could be
Well,
that.
we're glad to have both of you back.
Yes.
Both my
Yes.
personalities are happy to be here, and either one will talk tonight, whichever one you want to talk to.
Well, your other personality is scheduled, I think, in an upcoming month, so or two. So,
Think so.
yeah.
Yes.
So don't let
Nice.
her come out tonight.
No, she's gonna
She'll
stay
have her
hidden for a
time.
little while
Yeah.
and
She'll have
yes.
her time in the spotlight later.
Yeah, she'll have her time later. She'll let Sabrina stand out today.
Awesome. So Dawn, give us a
Yes.
little update. What's been going on with you for the past 2 weeks?
Oh, well, I quit one job and I went back to full-time real estate, but I've been writing, like quitting the job. It was great because they were like, okay, well, since you put in your 2 week notice, just stay at your desk. And so I'm like, I'm an author. You're like not punishing me by doing that. So I stayed there and I wrote books for 2 weeks and
I
got
think
paid for it.
you had just done that on our last
Yeah. No, I
show.
was still doing it. I was still doing it because I just Thursday was my last day. So I
Okay.
got half my book written, so that's good.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. And
Nice.
went and saw my grandpa this last week. So didn't get any writing done, but I got to see some family.
Good.
So yeah, that's just with me. And what about you?
I have been busy getting ready for Readers Take Denver. I am going as a vendor this year. All the author booths were taken, so I'm going as Book Box Babe, and I'm taking my 17-year-old will be my helper.
Yeah, I love those.
Yes, and then we are going to go look at some colleges in Colorado and turn it into because it's actually her spring break. The week after. So we're
Yeah.
going to extend and so we're driving. I think it's about 13 hours from Minneapolis to Denver. So that'll be
Oh.
fun. Good quality time in the car together.
Yeah.
Now, are
Yeah.
you meeting any of our past guests there?
I
Like,
hope
is
so.
80 going to be there or anything like that?
80 will be there. I know Christina Hovland will be there. I mean, there's like 175 authors who are going to be there. So yeah,
Nice.
there's going to be lots of people.
Nice.
But I think when you go to those events, like we're only there, well, we get in late Thursday, so we'll, the event is Friday, Saturday, and then we'll be leaving on Sunday. But it's like there's not enough time to see everybody. When you go to those
Yeah.
conferences like that, and there's so many people that you want to see, and I know there won't be enough time, but I'm going to do my best.
Now, did I see this correctly that Book Box Babe has a special shirt for that event or just events in general?
I am offering a special book signing shirt. So
Okay, book
it's not
signing shirt.
specific to that event, but it's got, I don't have one
I was
in
gonna
front of
say,
me now, but it's
do you have the graphic that you can screen share?
well, I can put it in the comments later, but yeah,
Okay.
it looks like a library card. It's got like the title where you can put the event and then all the authors can sign their name. It's got like a
How
little thing to
cute.
date. So it kind of
Nice.
looks like a library card, but so I've got that in a couple tote bags and t-shirt.
Nice.
So yeah,
Yeah, I
I'll have
thought
those
that was
to
super cute.
eat. Yeah, it'll be fun. I told my husband though, it's like I feel like it's more work getting ready for conference as a vendor and trying to get all my stuff together than it is going as an author, because then I just have to grab my books. But
Yeah.
either way, it's been a little while, so it's going to be busy. Oh, and then Teresa, who comes on here quite often, Teresa is going to be there So, and Karen Hoffman is going to be there.
Ooh,
so
yay.
Yeah. So I'll get to hopefully meet up with quite a few people. I see we've got Hi. Linda and Rose here tonight.
Hi, Linda.
Hi, Linda. Hello. Hi, Rose.
Hi.
So,
yes.
Yeah. So that's what I've been doing. And then also working on the Mountain Men of Mustang Mountain Kickstarter. We closed that all up. And now I mean, it's like Christmas around here because the UPS guy has been stopping by my house almost every single day, dropping stuff off.
So are you on a first name basis with him?
Well, no, because, you know, they just like drop it on your porch and don't even ring the doorbell anymore. And then they take a picture of it real quick and run away. So,
oh. Well, I mean, my mom knows her UPS man. I'm saying it's still possible.
I will say that the man that came and picked up, because normally, I mean, sometimes I take all the boxes mm-hmm. for the Romance Happy Hour book box and I take them and drop them off because it's just more convenient sometimes if I know I'm not going to be home. But this time, you know, I scheduled a pickup and the guy came and he was so happy to be hauling. I mean, he had to make, I don't even know how many trips from, you know, my front door to the truck and over and over and over. And he kept saying, I'm so happy to see, you know, a home-based business that's, you know, like doing Aww. This. And I was just like, oh, that, you know, what an attitude. Like that was phenomenal. The last time we had somebody that picked up at the house, he was like, how many more trips is this going to take me? How many more boxes do you have inside? So, I will say that UPS guy was very nice, but it changes every day. It feels like I don't have the same UPS guy.
No, we have the same UPS woman who delivers every day here. Well, at noon we have a UPS woman and at night we have a UPS man.
Okay.
And they always carry dog biscuits. So
yes,
we see our dog. We give it, mm-hmm. give my dog well, that. But did you see the Reddit thread about the UPS driver who was ranting that if I deliver to your house very often, you should leave snacks and bottles of water for the UPS person outside? And they said the same for the Amazon driver. And I'm like, really?
My mom does that. My mom does that during the holidays, right? So
yep. Yeah,
she does that during the holidays. But my stepdad orders so many things. And the UPS got to know my mom really well. And so it kind of made my stepdad a little bit jealous. And he used to call her his boyfriend, my mom's boyfriend. And he was like 20, you know, oh, is your boyfriend coming here? And she's like, you're the one ordering it. So it's
like, you're the one who's
sending him. You're the one sending him.
That was funny. So tell us a little bit about what the two of you have been up to. Sabrina, why don't you go first? Give us a little update on what's been going on in your writing life and all that stuff.
Sure. I've just finished what I'm going to be talking about tonight, which is book 3 in the Daraga Pack series. It's a 3-book arc. So you really do have to read the 3 books. They're not standalone, even though they're separate couples. They are, you know, 3 books that are an arc. And I'm working on the 4th book now. So, it's going to continue, and they will keep building on each other. Mm-hmm. So you really sadly do have to read them all in order to some extent in order to really understand the world. Also working on some other. What? No, it's not sad.
That's not sad.
Some people like standalones and they don't want to read a series, but
if you get sucked into a world in book 1, then, you know, oftentimes it's like you don't want to see it end. It's really cool when you can read that long series arc and you know, see the change that goes through everything. So
I love that.
Sadly,
I love it. It's awesome. Personally love it because I like it, but I like little arcs in it, right? Mm-hmm. So that's how I designed this, is 3 books. And then the next couple of books are going to be connected. And then I'm going to have more after that connected in small little series along with spinoffs. And I'm doing a few others that are going to be outside of that world that are not connected at all. I have a paranormal rom-com coming in at Christmas time. Yes. And that's going to be a lot of fun to do. Very different for me. So it's going to be really interesting to see how that comes out. So having a lot of fun in the PNR world.
Nice.
Yeah. Great. And how about you, Tina?
I have been writing very slowly. I'm working on the 2nd book of my pole dance series called Peaches and Pole. My personal life has collided with my writing life, and it's just kind of slowed me down a little bit. So I'm just kind of giving myself some grace and writing what I can write when I can write it, and try to get it done. I'm hoping to get it done by the end of this month, and then I could put it up next month. It was supposed to be up at the beginning of this month, and I'm still not done with it. So we're working on that. But I have some other, you know, cool things planned for the rest of the year. I was in, over the past couple of years, I was in a couple of anthologies. One was called the Vagabond series. It was all kind of about travel. And then another one was called Summers in Seaside, which was based in a little small town in Seaside, Oregon. And I'm revisiting those again. So I have releases for those coming out this summer. And I've also decided to do revisit my Carolina Wave series, which I'll be reading for one of those books tonight. I had said it was done, the series was done, but people keep asking if I'm writing more books in it. So I've kind of decided to put out another book in that series. So that should be fun, kind of hitting that again, because I love baseball. So it's like, yes, get back to it.
Well, and it's a good time. I mean, baseball's starting to gear up. So
Yeah.
Fun.
Yes.
All right. Well, I think we're going to hear from Sabrina first.
Yep. So I think so.
Are you ready?
You've got something prepared.
And I know we were talking before we came on that you went through and edited it all, so it was safe to share on our public page.
There's no NSFW. Awesome. I don't think so. I'm trying here. Got to do my best.
Sounds good.
Yes. So
are you starting at chapter one, or do you need to
set it up? I'm starting at chapter one.
Okay.
I am starting at chapter one, but I will give a little background for people. This is the third book in a series, and the third book goes back in time a little bit over book one and two. So it kind of starts at the beginning where book one was, because I never make my life any easier, because, you know, why would I do that? Book one starts with this heroine being kidnapped, and book three starts with her and her from her kidnapping going forward.
Okay.
So we did not really a time jump, but in the middle there was a big lot of stuff happening to get to this point.
Okay.
So I will just dive right in if everybody's ready to go. And hi, Casey. Yep. I see you joined.
Yeah, we'll pop you up there and we will be back when you're done.
Okay. Great. Thank you. All right. So this is the beginning of Feral Moon. He woke up curled in a fetal position among the carcass of a dismembered deer. It looked like someone had gone all Texas Chainsaw Massacre on the creature, not eating any of it, just slaughtering it for the sake of killing. The forest was dead silent around him, not a rustle of a breeze to stir the air around him, as if all the forest animals knew an apex predator was among them and had scattered. The scent of death and blood and terror lay heavy around him. Instead of rousing his hunger, or even his wolf, who had finally seemed sated, the smell only made him sick. He lurched to his feet and stumbled a few yards before falling to his knees and vomiting in the bushes. But only bile came up. He rested on his side after that, sweating in the cool night air, shivering, and wondering where the hell he was. How much time had he lost? Damn it, he swore to his beta that he'd stay in human form, that he'd resist the call of the wolf. But the beast had been pulling him under again, more and more frequently, until sometimes he wasn't sure if he was a man anymore. The fear clenching his gut was real. The more he lost himself to the beast, the closer he came to losing himself entirely. If that happened, the pack would eliminate him for the safety of everybody around him. At least he had stuck to killing an animal this time. Next time he might do worse and attack a human or one of his packmates. A scent tickled his nose, overlaying the smell of sickness and death. It was a mixture of maple, buttery rum, and caramel, but tainted with a sour smell of fear, sweat, and drugs. His wolf pushed to the surface, straining at the restraints he put on the beast, lured by the scent. He tried to throttle him back, but the rage that enveloped him every time his wolf took control gripped his mind. He shifted, the painful breaking of bones and reshaping of muscle and skin from his human form into wolf, until he stood in the clearing, a large ink-black wolf blending with the night. His wolf allowed the man to remain aware, something that hadn't happened in a long time, and he turned his attention to the north, where the scent pulled his attention, and the boundary of his territory. No one should be out here. He'd banished himself to this goddess-forsaken part of his territory when he started losing control,
where he'd hoped to contain the madness until he could find control or a cure. However, now his land was being invaded. He didn't want to control the beast who hungered for the blood of those who dared foul the sweet scent. Reminded him of something important, something his wolf desperately wanted, though he wasn't sure why. He immediately took off toward the sweet maple scent with long loping strides, covering the ground quickly. He was downwind of the intruder, so it was too late before they realized he was there. He slashed and tore his way through him, clawing and ripping at their flesh before they could fight back. Not that they were a match for him. He was an alpha, a supreme killing machine, an apex predator among predators, and these humans and shifters couldn't hope to win against him. Within moments, the carnage was over and all lay dead around him, except for a sack laying in the center, unmoving. The caramel, rum, and maple scents were stronger there, and he changed back to human, gasping at the transformation. Even for him, two quick changes in a short period sapped his energy. Something told him it was important that he be human for this. Suddenly, the bag moved, and he jumped back, an involuntary snarl coming from his throat, the wolf still holding him in his grasp. He nudged the bag with his foot, and the wiggling continued, with the top of it changing shape, morphing as if something was trying to push out of it. A hand wedged its way out, then another, opening the drawstring at the top. All at once, the bag was pushed down around the naked shape of a woman. She sat up, spat out a dirty rag, and blinked rapidly in the dim lighting of the forest. She took in the dead bodies and his naked form and said, "Well, damn, this can't be good." Kaylee McKinnon's head spun as she sat on the forest floor, leaves and other things sticking to her naked ass, the ultimate indignity her captors had visited on her. Bastards. She swallowed, trying to moisten her dry mouth, still tasting the dirty rag they shoved in her mouth to keep her from screaming and biting them. Of course, the dryness could have come from the drugs they'd pumped her full of for the past couple of weeks, or however long they'd held her prisoner. Time had ceased to have any meaning for her, days blending into nights, all running together. A cloth had been placed over her nose and mouth, and she'd gone under, oblivious to everything else happening around her. Everything had transpired within sight of her pack's boundary, but no one had been aware of her capture, at least not that she knew of. She didn't recognize anything around her. This forest was unfamiliar, not even close to the trees and woodlands she'd grown up in. The bodies strewn around her were her enemies, since they had been the assholes dragging her there. And the man studying her didn't look or smell like family or pack. She was on her own. At least this guy killed her kidnappers. Enemy of my enemy must be my friend and all that, so maybe she had an ally. Maybe. First things first, where am I exactly? The large naked male stared at her as if she was a foreign object, unsure of what she was saying. She sighed and glanced around, her gorge rising at the sight of the dismembered body scattered around the clearing, the smell adding to the nausea rising inside of her. Combined with the drugs in her system and days of not eating, her stomach turned and she rolled onto her knees to vomit bile onto the forest floor. Steady. A low voice spoke next to her and a hand rested low on her back, lending her strength. She so desperately wanted to lean into it, borrowing some of that strength for herself. But another part of her warned her not to trust him. Not yet. Not until she knew exactly what was going on. He may have saved her, but she still didn't know him. When she finished retching, or rather when nothing much came up despite her stomach cramping, she flopped back on the forest floor and stared up at him. "So you can speak English?" "I suppose that tells me I'm still in North America. I wasn't sure for a minute. And where the hell am I exactly in North America? Can you tell me that?" He crouched on his heels next to her and studied her for a long moment, giving her a view of everything. She covered her eyes. "Jeez, I get that shifters are pretty confident in everything, but could you cover up or something?" He looked around pointedly. "With what?" She sat up, doing her best to cover her own nakedness, and looked at his face. Not a bad-looking male, if a bit rough and hard. She'd lay money he was a dominant, if not an alpha. Great, just what she needed. Another overprotective male. "I assume your clothes are somewhere nearby?" He shrugged. "Maybe, not sure how far I've run." She stared at him. He sounded unsure about his location, which was strange. "Do you have any idea where we are?" "We're still in my territory, I'm sure." "I'm not sure of the exact spot, though. Why the hell are you here?" "It's not like I had much of a choice. You did notice I was wrapped up in a bag, right?" She clung to humor to stave off the panic that threatened to take over. The ghost of a smile crossed his face. "I can understand why. You're kind of difficult." Her eyebrows rose. "I'm difficult? You're the one barely answering questions. Goddess, you're worse than my brothers. I don't envy them. Where are you from? She folded her arms in front of her on guard and covering herself at the same time. The cool night air was puckering her nipples, something she didn't want to advertise. She was an alpha's daughter, trained to be cautious about other shifters, especially a dominant male. And if he was an alpha, was he allied with her father or against him? Was he involved in her kidnapping? He pushed to his feet in one smooth motion and whipped a hole in the bag's bottom to make it into some sort of a dress and tossed it at her. Put this on unless you want to shift. Either way, you're coming with me. She clutched the bag to her chest. She didn't relish the idea of wearing the same thing that had trapped her for so long. The feel of it, the smell, sent her back to the bottom of the van, bouncing along with the sinister laughter of the males all around her in the darkness. She feared it would give her nightmares if she even touched it. He arched a brow at her. You can always stay naked. I like the view, but it gets cold here quickly. She reached for her wolf and felt nothing. The space where she always felt her wolf since the day she began shifting was empty. A band squeezed around her chest and her heart pounded. She swallowed back a scream, stuffing down the fear that clutched at her. Her wolf was gone. It was like she'd been cut off completely from her, like she'd never existed. She shoved down the terror that enveloped her at the thought of being a victim without her more powerful half, and her hands trembled as she took out the bag. No way was she letting the stranger know how vulnerable she was. Not yet. Not until she had time to figure out if this problem was temporary. She dropped the sack over her head, feeling the scrape of the burlap over her skin, and immediately felt like she was back in the van. She began to shake, her vision tunneling, the smell filling her nostrils. Suddenly his face filled her narrowed eyesight, and he shook her. Focus on me. You're here in the woods. Your attackers are dead. They're not coming back. Not a single one got away. She blinked rapidly and focused on his harsh tone, then nodded, swallowing hard. Thanks. He dropped his hand and turned. Come on, we have a distance to go before we're safe. I thought this was your territory. Wouldn't that mean we're safe? He just kept going, striding out of sight. She sighed and followed. Wasn't like she had much of a choice. She still had no idea where she was or if she was safe. But it had to be better than sitting around their rapidly cooling and decomposing body parts, waiting to see if any of their compatriots would come looking for her. He had to be better than her kidnappers, right?
That's it. Okay, let me get everybody unmuted here so we can chat. Awesome. I was completely transfixed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're a very good reader, too.
Yes. Thank you.
Inflection and everything. That was
great. Yeah.
Thank you.
I don't even have any questions. I mean, I'm just still like.
What I want to know is what the, you know, NSFW stuff she cut out was in the first chapter. That's what I want to know.
Just a lot of swears. Just a lot of swears.
That's a lot of swears.
Okay. I just cut out the swears. That's all.
Yeah. That's an
NSFW is other stuff.
You never know. Yeah. How much of that's in this?
Nope. I just cut out the swears.
Okay.
So the first book in that series is a different couple.
Yes.
But still very much related. So if you read the first book, you would get a better idea of kind of like what's been going on and all that. Yes.
Yeah. The first couple is her brother and her friend.
Okay.
And her brother is the alpha heir to their home pack. And it starts with her kidnapping and trying to find her and bring her back home.
Okay.
And her friend is about bounty hunter. Who sees her get kidnapped and is initially accused because her friend is human of actually orchestrating the kidnapping. And there's three books in the series. I noticed Jennifer asked that. The first book is Alpha's Moon. And that book kicks off the series. And then book two is when the first couple is accused of killing members of another pack in their pursuit of the sister's kidnappers. Another brother has to go to the council and defend the first couple and try to figure out who took the sister. They now know the sister is with Maddox. Kaylee is with Maddox. But no one knows exactly what's going on there. Mm-hmm. And he has to try to unravel and try to allow Maddox to release Kaylee. And he's like, nope, not letting her go.
Okay.
And then this book goes back in time
a little bit so we get to see them, and then boom, it goes in parallel. And then this wraps up exactly why she was kidnapped and what happened.
Okay.
So this is book three?
Yes.
Or two? Okay, three.
Three.
Perfect.
It's Alpha's Moon, Moon Madness, and Feral Moon.
Okay.
And are there more coming in the same series?
There is more coming. This wraps up an arc, but there's more coming after this.
Okay.
Fine.
This book is Rejected Moon.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Okay. Very so cool.
We've got two questions. I mean, we can start with that and see. But readers, don't forget, if you have any questions for our authors, just post them in the comments and we can get them asked for you. So the first one here is, what's the most difficult thing about writing characters from the opposite sex?
I would say making it realistic, like making it, you know, not too overly dramatic, because, you know, I don't think guys are like that when they're having sex. Like, I don't think they think all the flowy things that we put into it. Like,
yeah, that's true.
You know,
so, next time you're in the middle of everything, you should ask.
And I'll just ask. Say, yeah. Hey, what are you thinking about right now?
what exactly are you thinking as you're doing? Yeah.
Yeah. What are you thinking about? What are you doing down there? What are you thinking about?
Well, and I think also just thinking about the relationship and I really like writing from the male point of view. I think I like it more than writing from the female point of view sometimes, especially in PNR. I really like that. But I find that just exactly what Tina said, you have to balance the true, would a guy say this to, well, I need to balance what the romance reader, the fantasy of what we all really wish a guy would say during the moment, or at that, you know, the HEA when they're declaring their love, how many guys are going to declare their love like that, or have that beautiful, wonderful grand gesture that we all swoon over? How many guys are really going to do that? There are guys who do. I'm not saying they don't, but not all of them really think about that. And, you know, coming up with that, I think is, you know, it's balancing those.
It's two balance, yeah.
It, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go ahead, Dylan.
I was just going to say, I saw Linda's comment. I love the MPV. And I was like, what is an MPV? but I got it. Yeah, you, Linda. I think that's what you meant. So.
A little late today, isn't it, Dylan?
I mean, it's only 8-something here. So yeah. I can't even use it being late as an excuse. So
I was just going to say, I love to write the male point of view. I do. I think I'm better at it than females, just because, like, I'm a very odd female in that I don't think the same as most females, I think. I mean, most of my life I had guy friends, you know, and still. So I think I connect more, with the male POV than I do with the female. And I think the female is where I struggle, because I'm just like, when her thoughts come in and I know I should write them down, sometimes I think, like, you're just being a little whiny baby. Are you really gonna say this, or do you need to be a little bit stronger?
You need to start writing stronger heroines then.
No, I do write strong heroines, for sure. Like, that's my thing, is strong heroines, because that's one thing I do love, is I love making my heroines sass the crap out of my heroes, because I think that I write strong, but I also write alphas. Even my betas tend to be more alpha than beta. I mean, I've had so many of my agents come back and be like, ignore beta, I'm more beta. And I'm just like, I'm trying so hard. So I think it's because I just love I love to put some sass into my heroines. So yeah, they need sass.
I struggle, Dawn, with my heroines sometimes. It's why I love PNR so much, because when I write my contemporaries, my heroines are either too strong.
Yeah.
Or I don't want to say too weak, but they're too soft. Like, trying to find that balance where that's in PNR, I'm like, I just let them go. I let them rest.
Yeah.
They can be that strong heroine and they can give as good as they take, because they're supposed to be very strong. Mm-hmm. And I love that.
Well, and that's what I love about PNR too, is because you can write an alpha male that is just a pure alpha male and get away with it. Like, I think recently in writing, you know, we've kind of gone towards the betas and what's that? You called it, Dylan.
Cinnamon rolls,
betas. The gamma.
Is supposed to be in between. He can alpha up when he needs to, but he can also beta down when he needs to. Yeah.
But in PNR, you can just go all out in an alpha male and just do that Beauty and the Beast kind of style.
Oh, come on. Even the Beast got dressed up and put a bow in his hair so he could.
He did.
He was a gamma. That is what you're saying.
Yeah.
But only for her.
Only for her.
Yeah. But Belle was strong enough to sass him. I mean, she was. She was like this, you know, calm, sweet, like introverted girl. But then when the Beast pissed her off, I mean, she got sassy. And that's what I think, that was my favorite cartoon growing up. And maybe that's why I write the way I do, is because like that's the story I want to tell, is Beauty and the Beast style. So I don't know.
That was one of my favorites. Maybe because she's not a library.
It's the library. It's the whole library.
Right. It's got to be the library, right?
Yeah. Library.
The food and the library.
The food and the library.
And the dancing stuff.
Yeah. All the dancing things. The talking
that clean your house and everything. Yeah. I'm good with that. Yeah.
And like get you dressed, like fashion you too. It's like you're not going to do anything if you go there. So.
Yeah, I kind of like that. Yeah, living in the castle. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
There we are.
For real.
Yep.
All right. We do got one more. And then, ladies, you got to post some more questions. If not, I'll start asking. And I don't know. Sometimes my questions get weird. So here we go. How long were you a part-time writer before you became a full-time writer? Or are you still a part-time writer?
Well, I'm still part-time. I have a full-time job. So it's going to be a while. Yeah. So I'm still part-time. I still write. I write at night. I have a pretty rigid schedule that I work all day. And then I have a specific writing. As a matter of fact, right before this, as Dawn knows, I was doing writing sprints with a couple of friends on Zoom. And I hear this voice. And I'm like, what is that? I thought my characters had full on started talking. It was very disconcerting, I have to tell you. I said, okay, I have now gone officially crazy.
Okay, so next time if I come on and I see you like really focused, I know to say some random stuff. Like,
yeah, just say character stuff, yeah. And I will freak out. It will be really funny. Start recording.
I was dancing in the rain. And a shoe came at me. I don't know. Like, we'll come up with something, you know?
Yeah. It'll scare me. But yeah. Yeah. So that's me.
I was a part-time writer for a long time. My first book was published by a small press in 2007. And then I had 6 books published with them. And then I took a little bit of a break. And then I published my first indie book in 2018, the end of 2018. And I was... writing with the goal of becoming a full-time author. And in May of 2020, I was let go from my job because of COVID cutbacks. And I was just like, I am not going back. So I've been full-time since May of 2020.
Nice. Okay.
Yay. Yay. Living the dream.
Yep. All right. I see Jennifer posted a couple. Do you want to save those for after?
Yeah, I think we should. Let's hear after. From Tina, and then we can pop a couple questions up after.
Okay. So, all right, let me hide that. And then Tina, are you reading from chapter one? Or do you
I'm reading chapter one, and it alternates. It starts off in the hero's point of view, and then it moves over to her point of view. The title of this book is Waste of Handsome, and Jack, it's book two in my Carolina Wave series. They all can be read as standalones. They could be read at any time. The only thing you do know is the people in the book prior got together, but since it's a romance, you know that anyway. But each story kind of ends itself. But Jack, he's kind of a little bit of a, I'll give you a little bit of setup, not a total man whore, but he has, like, he calls them people have dubbed them as seasonal girls. He has a girl in the season and a girl in the off season. And that worked for him for his whole career, you know, for like 15 years, 16 years. And then it worked until it didn't. And the last girl did not want to be gone after the season was over. And when it was, you know, when he broke up with her, she wrote a tell-all book about him. So now he's kind of in a little bit of a PR predicament because she wrote this, you know, and as far as tell-all books go, it wasn't a horrible tell-all book, but it was still something that the owner of the team just didn't want, you know, wanted to deal with. So that's where we're at. The book starts with him being called to the owner's office, and there's that.
Okay.
Yeah.
We will leave you to it, and we'll be back after.
Okay. So this is chapter one of Waste of Handsome. As I said, it starts in Jack's point of view. I walked through the office doors and nodded at the receptionist before continuing toward the stairs to Mr. Hanover's office. Normally, I'd stop and talk with the staff, but I'm not in the mood today. I've punched up my workouts getting ready for spring training, and I'm sore as hell. Plus, I haven't been sleeping, so I'm tired. The former is something that gets worse as years go on, and the latter is because of that damn book. In my 14 years with the Waves, I've done my best to avoid being singled out by the team owner. Aside from a warning about partying too much my rookie year, I've been successful. And now this, it's bullshit. I work to keep my temper in check as I made my way through the hallway toward Mr. Hanover's office. I'm sure whatever happens at this meeting is only going to piss me off, so I can't start it with a hot head. Stepping in front of the double doors, I took a deep breath and knocked three times. The door opened immediately. Ken Hanover Jr., heir apparent to the Waves, stood in the doorway, blocking my view of the office. "Kenny," I said. "Come on in, Jack." I lost my place. He moved aside and I stepped into the office. Mr. Hanover sat in an oversized chair behind his gigantic mahogany desk. "Come have a seat," he said. The thick blue carpet cushioned my steps as I crossed the room. I settled into one of the visitor's chairs directly across from him, and Kenny sat in the chair on my right. "How have you been doing?" Mr. Hanover asked. "You're looking good. Must be working hard." His good old boy accent and small talk weren't fooling me. The man didn't call me in to tell me how good I look or ask about my workout routine, but I'll play the game. "I'm good," I said. "Just ramped up my workouts, getting ready for the season. Well, it shows." "Thank you, sir." My words still hung in the air when Hannah Adams from the Public Relations Department stepped into the office. "Sorry I'm late," she said. She gave me a small smile and sat in the chair to the left of me. Dressed in her usual bland attire, bright red glasses added the only color to her face. "Jack, we asked you to come in today so we can discuss this book of yours," Mr. Hanover said. I wanted to point out the fact that it's not my book, but figured he wouldn't appreciate that. Instead, I focused on keeping a neutral face. "Now I'm a live and let live kind of guy. Who you spend your time with off the field is your business. But once it affects this team, we have a problem." He leaned back in his chair and steepled his fingers in front of his chest. "When the book first came out, we decided to ignore it, but that's not working anymore. Now it's a bestseller and that woman's been all over the media, and she'll be on Good Morning America next week. And if she's heading to New York, that's probably not the only show she'll be hitting. Shit. When Cindy released that book, I thought it was a joke. Turns out the joke is on me. Sir, I..." He held up his hand, halting my words. "The problem is that book is taking focus off baseball," he said. "We're gearing up for spring training, and it's all the reporters are asking about. The phones are ringing off the hook with requests for interviews and comments, not to mention the fact that the staff is tittering about it instead of working." Mr. Hanover's face reddened with each word. He sat forward and took a deep breath, dragging his fingers through his hair. Resting his elbows on the desk, he looked at me again. "Son, I understand you didn't ask for this, but you got it anyway," he said. "There's nothing we can do about the book. It's out and doesn't look like it's going away anytime soon. So we'll just have to give them something else to focus on." "Like what?" "That's where Hannah comes in," he said. "She has some ideas for a, what do you call it?" Looking over at her, he raised his brow. "A PR blitz," she said, shifting slightly in my direction. Clearing her throat, she continued. "We want to get you out there having a positive impact. If we show all the great things you're doing in the community, the media will look pretty petty if they keep focusing solely on the book. There are tons of pictures of me visiting the children's hospital, and once the season starts, I'll be engaging with fans like usual. What else did you have in mind?" "You've been great with the children's hospital, and we'll be able to use that. And you're always a fan favorite, so that's something we can definitely highlight. But I know there are other causes you support that you've never wanted us to capitalize on. Now's the time to do that." "How the hell does she know what I support?" "I've kept them off radar for a reason," I said. "They're not things I want to discuss." "You wouldn't have to discuss them necessarily. Just let it be known you're doing them." "I don't want to do that either." She opened her mouth to speak, but it was Mr. Hanover's voice that filled the room. "You don't have much of a choice here," he said. The fact that he didn't raise his voice didn't lessen the impact of his words. "We're trying to focus on baseball, and the reporters are asking about what kind of underwear you wear instead of how the team is shaping up, for God's sake." I doubted that was true, but thought it best not to state it out loud. Instead, I said, "I apologize for that, sir, but don't you think this will die down with time? From what we've heard, she's making the most of the 15 minutes of fame she's getting with this book. And once that season starts, The press will link every little thing you do to that book stoking the fire. I'm not willing to have my PR department stomping on brush fires all year. Hannah here thinks we should hit this head on. She does, huh? I ask, not quite keeping the sarcasm out of my tone. It's not Hannah whose ass will be on the spot answering probing questions. And no matter what I say, no matter what she says, I know the questions will be asked. If you have some time before you leave, I can explain the ideas I've come up with so far, and maybe we can think of a few more, she said. I opened my mouth to answer, but once again, Mr. Hanover pulled his ventriloquist act. Son, I can see you're not quite on board with this, but understand, it's not an option. You know Hannah is good at her job, so let her do it. You've been a valuable asset to this team for a lot of years. I'd hate for this unfortunate incident to put a bad color on our future negotiations. Did he just threaten my contract renewal? His steely eyes told me he did just that. Well, damn. Mr. Hanover prides himself on keeping the team's reputation flawless. In his opinion, this book is threatening that. I've played my whole major league career with the Waves and plan on retiring from the team. Until now, that was never in question. I guess I'll have to play nice. I understand, I said to Mr. Hanover, then turned to Hannah. I don't have any plans, so I'm yours for the rest of the day. Now we switch to Hannah's point of view. Great, I said. We can head to my office now if that works for you. I'm all yours, he said with a slight bow. After wrapping things up with the Hanovers, Jack and I exited the owner's suite and stepped onto the elevator. As we stood side by side in silence, his sweet, spicy scent found its way to my nostrils, making me want to bury my face in his neck and deeply inhale. And maybe lick. Oh, who am I kidding? Definitely lick. How am I going to survive this? Despite the fact that Jack Reagan is everything I don't want in a man, my heart goes pity-pat every time he's near. And it pisses me off because at this point in my life, you'd think I'd be immune to men like him. I mean, I've been working for the Waves for nearly 10 years. I shouldn't be susceptible to the charms of any of them. Not to mention where and how I spent some of my teen years. Beautiful people shouldn't even cause a blip on my radar because I know the reality behind all the glitz and glamour. We exited the elevator on the third floor and walked down the hall to my office, fourth door on the right. I stepped behind my desk, hoping it would provide a barrier to Jack's magnetism. No such luck. Maybe it's because he's a professional athlete and a dead ringer for Ryan Reynolds that tips my scales. It's like a double punch to my sound judgment. Jack slouched into the visitor's chair across from me and crossed his ankle over his knee. I assume he's trying to look relaxed, but the man is practically vibrating. I have a few ideas to start with, and we can add on as the season progresses, I said. He didn't answer or react, so I forged on. I know you've been a silent supporter of a variety of anti-drunk driving organizations, as well as the anxiety and depression associations here and in your home state. He sat forward. How? Excuse me? How do you know that? He asked. No one knows that. It's my job to know, I said, leaving it at that. He doesn't need to know that I stumbled on both of those facts while obsessively creeping on him a few years back. Most people don't look past the first few pages of an internet search, but the last few were often where you could find some of the best stuff. Sure, Jack is obsessive about keeping his private life private now, but back in the beginning of his career, he didn't cover his tracks as well. Which led me to the little tidbits I just shared. A few follow-ups and voila, I've got something to work with. Thankfully, he didn't question me further and slouched back in his chair. Can't you just find something else for me to do? I can and I will, but if that's all we have, it looks like we're doing it just to up your image. But that's exactly what we're doing. I chuckled both at his words and the incredulous look on his face. Yeah, but we don't want the public to know that. He sat forward, resting his elbows on my desk. Hannah, the reason I support those groups is personal. I really don't want to discuss it, he said, then added, with anyone. His New Hampshire accent appeared when he stated my name, a definite tell of how upset he is about this. But I have to say, Hanner never sounded so sexy. Mentally shaking myself, I accepted his point and told him so. I'm sure there would be some questions about why you're supporting those specific groups, but you don't have to tell the whole story. They're both very worthy causes. Why wouldn't you support them? I guess. Considering the time of year, I think we should focus on the drunk driving groups first. With prompts coming up in the next few months, their campaigns will be in full swing. I've contacted a few schools and groups around St. Pete to work with during spring training. There's also a local event prior to that you can attend. What kind of event? A dinner at Luca. It had sold out, but I managed to convince them to squeeze another table in for us to purchase. I was thinking maybe you and some of the other players could attend. Do you think Cal and Dan would go? They're really good with the public. What about you? What about me? You're not just going to set me up for all these things and not come along to babysit, are you? The twinkle in his eye, mingled with that wicked grin, nearly gave me an orgasm. I cleared my throat and struggled to sound professional. You're great with the fans. I've no doubt you'll be able to handle this without a babysitter. Oh no, if I'm stuck doing all this stuff, you're going to be there every step of the way. In all my years with the Waves, I've managed to minimize my alone time with Jack Reagan. His mere presence is enough to scramble my thoughts and his scent. Well, I think I've already mentioned that. Being in close proximity to him on a regular basis will not be good for my peace of mind. I figured I'd set everything up, give you the details, and you could take it from there. I'm just a phone call away if you need me. Oh, I'll need you, he said. In fact, I'm going to tell Mr. Hanover that you'll have to be available for every little thing I do. God help me. And that is chapter one.
Love it.
Loved it. Yeah, when you talk about, you know, like thrusting the two of them together for something. They are definitely in it now.
They're so, in it now.
And I liked her introspection too. Hanner.
Hear it.
I could hear it.
Yeah.
And then when you said
New England, I could totally hear that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the Ryan Reynolds. And it's always funny because I always say Jack is my favorite hero of all my books. Don't tell the other guys, but he's just my favorite hero. And I think it's a combination of the Ryan Reynolds thing. And that's how he appeared to me when I started writing the book. So I added that. And also, he has like, you know, he's not a bad guy. He's got things from his past and he's got like mommy things from his past going on. So I think, you know, I have a soft spot for him, but he's my favorite hero.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I love that you have a favorite.
I do. Said, don't tell the other guys.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, I was gonna say most of us lie when people ask, yeah, "Who's your favorite?" Because you know it's like picking a child.
Kind yeah,
of, so yeah. It's like yeah.
But I mean, do you secretly have a favorite child though?
Dawn does. I know. She
I won't
does.
Say. Dawn I do. Does. I know. No, I do not.
I love all my children, yeah. But I mean, they know who my favorite is. I mean,
is it the baby?
They say that,
the oldest.
Yes. The baby, of course. Baby. The baby. Well, everybody picks on him. I think that's why he's
favorite. That's why they pick on him.
Yeah. Well, I only have two, and I have a boy and a girl, so it's kind of like balance. You know what I mean?
Well,
it's like,
yeah. I mean,
yeah.
You guys can pick and choose. Like, it'll be even. If one of you favors one of you favors the other, you're good to go.
Good to go, yeah.
See, I wouldn't say I have a favorite, but I would say that, I don't know, they're just, you love them in different ways.
Yes. Yeah. You know, different ways.
Cause yeah, it's like, So I don't think you can just say like, there's a favorite or
there's definitely easier. I have one that is easier than the other one, let us say, okay. But I don't love him anymore. You know?
Yeah.
That's always the case.
Yeah. Yes. It's different is a good way to put it in case my kids ever watch this video.
Yeah.
And I think too, I mean, the same with the characters that you create, you know, I mean, I think that, you know, you love them, but you love them for different reasons, you know, like you might love one because that one really challenged you. You might love another because, you know, it was just kind of easier or that was, you know, more, you know, like some of the, one of the heroines that, you know, maybe I identify most with, you know, it's like, it would be easy to say, I love that one the most because she was easier to write because, you know, it was more of me was in there as opposed to, you know, but so, yeah, I mean, I think it's like characters too.
Yeah.
I'm trying to bring us back to writing.
Yeah. Bring us back to writing. Yeah.
Well, I was going to bring us back by saying, are you going to tell your heroes that like, I love you the same as the rest of them, but just in a different way.
Just in a different way. Yeah.
Like every one of your heroes that you write, I love you just in a different way than I love everybody else. So basically you as an author, you're like the female character in a harem, in a reverse harem, right? Because like you love all of your heroes just in different ways.
True.
Oh. Very true.
Each but she has to share them all with the heroines, so it's not really a reverse harem.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but we can always sever that contact.
I mean, yeah. You have the control to pull.
You can break the hearts.
Dance, my little puppets.
Guess what? You may be perfect for him, but I'm the author, so he's mine. Thank you.
He's mine first.
He's mine first.
Is it that easy to control your characters, Sabrina? Because I find that when I try to make them do things, they resist and they do whatever they want to do. And, you know, my husband doesn't understand that because he says that you made them up. And I'm
it
like,
it sounds bizarre to people who aren't writers.
You kind of create them and form them, but then it's like you give them free will. And, and then they just do what they're going to do when you just kind of try to capture it as it happens.
Yeah.
What's funny is Dylan knows this about me very well. In my contemporary space, I am a very strict plotter. I'm really, really good at plotting out my stories. In PNR,
you're a planter?
Wing it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But I also really know the arcs for these books. I know where they're going. So I let the care. I'm like, here you go. I know who they are really well. And I'm like, here you go. How would you like to go through this story world?
Tell yeah.
me who wanted to navigate it. So it's very unique. I completely agree. Even in my contemporaries, my characters really will surprise me at times. But yeah, my characters really do navigate their world in their own way. And especially my paranormals. I mean, I've had a few things show up and I'm like,
in paranormals, I think in paranormals, it's first off easier to do that because you're creating the world and you can, they can just go wherever they want. They don't have to go to, you know, to conform to social restrictions. But it's really fun too, because you're just like, oh, well, now I'm going to have to change something. Okay, lady. Like, I mean, your heroine can do something that has to change. Like, I think I had one that had to change a whole new series, like backlist series that I was working on. And so I had to go and change a bunch of stuff just based on my heroine doing something stupid or like her own thing. And I'm like, well, now I got to go change that in a whole nother book. So yeah.
The world has to change sometimes around.
The whole world. Yes.
You're like, wait, you can't do that. Yeah. She's like, why not? It's my world. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm making this.
My bad. Like, oh. I'm just taking down dictation here. My bad. It's true though. Paranormal, there's a lot more you can flex with.
Yeah.
Than in the contemporary, you still have to conform to, you know, laws of physics.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure. Well, and also, I mean, I know sometimes people will get caught in their own paranormal world because, you know, you do have to have some guidelines or rules or restrictions around the world that you build. And so I think that would be, I mean, I have not written paranormal. I know a couple of you on here have dabbled or have full other pen names that write that. But I think that would get tricky, you know, at least in the real world. It's like I can remember if something's, you know,
yeah,
accurate. I can check Google or something, you know, if it's accurate. Whereas, you know, if you mention something 4 books ago, and then, I mean, our readers are so smart, they remember those things that we don't. I'd trip myself up.
I had an ARC reader just, my proofer just got back to me, and she's like, did you mention this in any of the other? I'm like, yeah, I did. I remember I did because it's in my story Bible. I did remember that. It's a unique, it's not part of the normal lexicon in the shifter space. And I intentionally put that in place. So when, and that's the other thing, if you go out of the normal lexicon of the world, you better make sure you explain it and stay consistent because it will come back and bite you in the butt when you want to go do something different
or have a reason why it's changing, like,
or have a reason why it's changing. That was
John. I think we had another couple of questions. I want to make
how long have either of you been writing? This is from Jennifer Daniels.
I've been published since 2007, but I was writing, I mean, gosh, forever. I really wish I had some of my stories I used to write, like, back in the high school days. I always tell the, it's in my bio, actually. My friend and I used to write what is now called fan fiction for our favorite soap opera. We used to watch Guiding Light, and we were in, like, sixth grade, seventh grade, and we used to write scenes. Every night, we'd write scenes for our favorite couple. And we would exchange the scene. We would exchange the scenes. And that's, like, really how I started writing. Like, and so I'm like, we were, like, you know, we were trendsetters. We were like, we were doing fan fiction before fan fiction was a thing.
I love that.
I do. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. I can imagine you on your loose leaf notebook.
My loose leaf notebook.
You know, like
passing notes in class.
Yeah. We used to we'd go to school and we'd like give them to each other. And then of course we're like trying to read them while we're in class. And it was, I really wish I still had some of them, and she doesn't have hers either. She, you know, they got lost in moves and are thrown away or whatever, but that's really when I first started writing. So sixth or seventh grade. And then I used to write short stories and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, is your friend also a writer?
She actually did have a book published years. She's actually the one who got me to join the Romance Writers of America like many, many moons ago. And I forgot when I joined it, 2001. And she's the one who, you know, she had joined it and she published two books, I think, with the small press. And then she kind of moved on to the music industry. But yeah, it is funny that we both ended up being romance authors.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's fantastic.
I kind of started a little bit like Tina back in high school, writing fanfic for but not for soap operas. I wrote for Battlestar Galactica.
Okay.
Then I wanted, now remember, Battlestar Galactica was in the 70s. I was not in high school in the 70s. I am not quite there yet. They were replaying it in the 80s.
Uh-huh.
And I loved it. I always wanted to write fantasy and science fiction. Funny how I'm writing PNR now. That's actually what I wanted to start writing. And I used to exchange it with friends in school and high school. And then in college, a friend of mine and I both read Harlequins, because I read Harlequins for years. Mm-hmm. I mean, Special Edition, Blaze, Temptation. Blaze didn't come around till later, but Desire, read Desire for many, many years. And so we both decided we were going to write category romance. And we each finished one and sent them off and never heard back.
Yeah.
I guarantee you it was probably pretty crappy. That was way back in, I'm not going to say when. And then I got away from it for a little while after college, and then got back into it when I started a job. And a friend of mine said, you love to read and you have these great ideas. You need to start writing. And she got me she paid for me to go to the New Jersey Romance Writers Conference. And she's like, I saw this in RT. You've got to go to this conference. You have to try this. And she went with me.
Oh, nice.
She wasn't a writer. And that's how it kind of started. I joined CTRWA, the Connecticut Romance Writers. And I wrote for many years, you know, trying to, you know, write category, trying to write, you know, single title. I tried mystery for a while. And I finally got published in 2015 with a baseball series with a small press, Thule Publishing. Wrote a lot of contemporary under a different name, but my heart, I love contemporary, but my heart has always been paranormal. I always wanted to write fantasy and paranormals, and I finally just said, you know what, I'm going to do it.
Mm-hmm. So, were you at the New Jersey Romance Writers Conference in 2010?
I've been to so many of them. It's entirely possible I was there in 2010 because
I'm just wondering if we were there together and didn't even realize it.
I used to go there all the time too. So we had to have been there because I went there I went there like every year. I spoke there a couple times.
I spoke there a couple times too.
Okay. It's funny.
So I was there when the fire alarm went off and all the firemen come in.
Yeah.
Oh my God. We're so cool.
We were all there together.
We kept getting kicked out of our room. And I'm like, what's going on? I'm tired. I'm crabby now.
Yeah.
And all the firemen come in and everyone's like, oh, we're romance writers. This is so awesome.
And they were like, could you stop pulling the alarms, please?
Someone
was taking a hot shower. And I'm like, I don't think so.
No, it was the steam from the food.
Oh, was it? I heard someone speaking. They told us it was showers. I'm like,
They set out all the food right outside the conference room, and all the steam from the food went off and set off all the fire alarms.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I ever heard that.
I didn't hear that story. Okay. Yeah.
Well, there you go. It's an unsolved mystery that
solved for you because I was down there watching it happen.
Watching the firemen.
Well, there you go.
Well, that all was right. Good. So this is the last question we do have, but how many books do you ladies have published?
Oh my gosh, you're gonna have to use your fingers and your toes, aren't you?
Yeah.
Oh, more than that.
I think I have 15.
Yeah, 15. Well, it depends. For paranormal, I have five. Well, six. I have six for paranormal now. With Feral Moon, which comes out April 4th. For contemporary, I have, including novellas and stuff, I think I have about 20.
Nice.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
And how about you, Dylan?
I wasn't even mathing in my head. I don't know. I think I don't know.
Yeah.
15 less, maybe 20, I don't know. Somewhere around there. I could do the math, but
last time I saw you math, Dylan, we were figuring out a check at a Mexican restaurant, so
I wouldn't trust her, Tina. I would not trust her.
No, I stepped out of figuring out the math and I just recorded the moment and maybe
I'm out.
There were actual, like, there were accountants in the room.
There were accountants in the room. We were, yeah.
Hand it over.
Hand it over. Let them figure it out. Was
over my head.
Yeah. That would be me. Or I would just say, let's just split it evenly and call it a day.
Well, that's what I thought we should have done, but I don't know. Somebody didn't want to do that, I think. We were the, what, like 20 people. It was a group of 20 people at the mastermind conference we were at last year.
We probably shouldn't tell people we were a mastermind if we can't figure out a bill.
Well, You weren't at a mastermind.
You
were at a county mastermind. Yeah.
It was fine.
Yeah.
That's true.
How about you, Dawn?
Yeah, Dawn. How many?
Short stories and anthologies included, I think I'm at between 25 and 30.
Awesome.
I think. I keep getting counts wrong. So I don't know. I mean, somewhere. Short stories included, so.
Yep. I used to say that, like, how do people not know? I used to say that all the time, like, when I was, you know, before I had books published. How do these authors not know? Or, oh, I just realized it's, like, my 30th book or whatever. And I'm like, how do they not know? Now I know how they don't know.
Yeah.
I never counted. I can't math.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, bottom line, Jennifer, is we have enough books published between the four of us to keep you busy reading for a very long time.
For a while.
Well, at least until we release a new one.
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
Although
I have a couple months and you can hear about my contemporaries. Mm-hmm.
Some of these readers will read like 300 books a year. So I mean, there's no way we can write that fast.
Well, I feel like they're reading a book and listening to a different audiobook at the same time to get 300 a year. It's like I don't know about that, Dawn. I don't know. Who knows? That's a lot of books.
It is a lot of books.
Yeah. I just saw a TikTok. Someone on TikTok was like, I read 35 whole books last year. And I'm like, dude, I read that last week. Catch up. Please catch up.
I would say last month. Yes, I'm more of the 35 books a year.
That's how I am now, yeah.
I know. I mean, well.
I'm slowing down because of the writing because I can't read as much. But
how in the world do you read that much if you're working full time and writing? No.
Do you work? Do you read books while you're working?
She reads.
I do not.
I was gonna say. I mean, are we like giving something away here?
No. I don't have time when I'm working. I'm in meetings. But
she makes her eyes stay open while she sleeps and she reads.
I work during the day. I write, and then I have to I read right before bed. So I read, and I read fast. I'm a very fast reader, so I read before bed because it helps me relax. Yeah. So I am one of those people who it's 2 o'clock in the morning, just one more chapter.
I know, I do that too.
Yeah.
And then the birds start chirping outside the window and you realize the sun is coming up.
Yeah.
Like, oh no. Yeah. My husband's gonna realize I stayed up all night reading. I'm gonna close my eyes real fast.
I also read a lot of shorter books too, you know.
Yeah.
So that ups my count.
Yes.
I'm not gonna lie about that. You have to make excuses.
I'm just in awe. So
But then I'll go through for a few weeks without reading anything because I'm like so focused on the writing because I don't like to distill my writing. I'll always read a different genre than what I'm writing because I can't do the same at the same time. It's just I don't want to.
I can't either because I start reading and I think, oh crap, that's a really great sentence. I should write a sentence that's this great. And then I'll start trying to figure out how to write the next sentence that's also epic. So, like,
that's a lot of pressure.
That's a lot of pressure.
Wow, I can't be this good.
Yeah.
Like, I'm reading Sarah J. Maas right now, and I'm like, I am never going to be this good. Don't think about that. Just
don't
enjoy her and love her stuff. Yeah. And admire the brilliance and call it a day.
That's right. Well, and I feel like, you know, as an author, it's an industry where you can appreciate the talents of others. And, you know, it's I mean, I wouldn't ever want to be, you know, I mean, like, I love Lucy Score. I couldn't be Lucy Score if I wanted to. I think it's so awesome there is a Lucy Score or a Sarah J. Maas or, you know, I mean, it's like, they're phenomenal authors and it just, yeah. But yeah, you wouldn't want, but I don't want to always read a Sarah J. Maas. I mean, sometimes I want to read a Tina Gallagher or a Sabrina Silvers or a Dawn Ludeke, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or a Dylan Crush.
Well, or Dylan Crush. Yeah.
Or Eve London.
I would like to be writing those books instead of
instead of reading them.
Writing them faster.
Yeah. Writing them faster would be a nice thing.
Yes. It would be a very nice thing.
Yes.
I wish somebody would come up with a software that, you know, my mind, when it comes to my mind, it could just automatically go on the computer and that would be way fast. Yeah.
That would be nice.
I'm sure that's coming, Dawn. So be careful.
We
have dictation. Yeah. We have AI. It's just a matter of time. Yeah. Really.
They'll put a chip in your head and you'll be able to sleep and download all your thoughts.
Exactly.
Oh, that's a really scary.
Sometimes I dream and I think this will be a really great book. And then I wake up and I think, what was I thinking while I was dreaming? This would be a horrible book.
Yeah.
So,
I do that.
I've done that before, yeah. I've but we are over time, Dylan.
I know. I was going to say on that note, I was trying to end on something more positive, Dawn. But
oh, more positive than future, you know, writing styles.
Well, we'll end on thinking about Dawn's dreams, and no, just kidding. We will end about talking about our giveaway because both Tina and Sabrina have goodies up for grabs. If you head over to the Romance Happy Hour Facebook page, you can get in on that. Sabrina has 3 ebooks up for grabs, and Tina is gifting whoever is drawn at random their choice of any of her books in ebook form. So make sure you check that out. We'll leave that open through Sunday night so you have a chance to get in on that. And if you're going to be in Denver next week at Readers Take Denver, make sure that you reach out and let me know so we can see you. And I don't know. Do you have anything else, Dawn?
No.
Nothing?
That's it.
Okay. Yeah, that's so it. We'll be back in, oh my gosh, April. I can't believe it's April.
Yeah, 4 months in.
We'll be back the second Thursday in April. And Tina and Sabrina, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And
thank you for having me.
For sure. For sure. Fun. Absolutely. I know Tina jumped in at the very last minute because we had a cancellation. So thank you, Tina.
Always up for a party.
Absolutely. You never know what kind of time you're going to have at
Romance. You never know what time you're going to have. That's right.
You'll at least laugh at least.
It's always a lot of fun. Yep.
So, and thanks to everybody who joined us. We will see you, everybody. Yeah. We'll hopefully see you next time. Yep. All right.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.